This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius, John Batchelor, with Michael Vlahos, Germanicus. We're in Londinium, and we look at the revelations, if they are, of secrets, if they are, classified documents, that's what they say they are, about the conduct of the Allies, NATO, and Korea, in the war in Ukraine, also the conduct of the Ukrainians, also comments about the Russian forces, comments about the Ukrainian forces. Germanicus, I come to you because we've been watching for some time a stalemate in and around Bakhmut. These documents don't give us anything we didn't already know about the battlefield. They just say that a number of the allies supporting Kiev don't look to trust each other. That would be the U.S. in the lead. It also indicates that the U.S. has sophisticated technology that's capable of learning a great deal about what's going on the ground from satellites. The Americans, the DOD has always had sophisticated technology. Remember how we were going to make an electronic fence on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, Germanicus?
Yes,
that,
I do.
That was going to end the war because we'd know every time somebody showed up with a truck. The North Vietnamese found no problem deceiving that. So technology is easily deceived. History says if you can build it, they can build a counterweapon or a counter-surveillance software. So right now, Germanicus, I'm interested to know whether you think these revelations in any way tell us something about the battlefield that we can't see for ourselves.
By elision and implication, the answer has to be yes. If you parse through a document that you have verified or that you at least believe is authentic, just reading through and filtering the language, you can gain a lot. I mean, I learned that at CIA because it'd be all these Russian documents and you wouldn't worry about what they said. You'd worry about how they would be crafted, how they would be framed, what they'd be implying, how things would correlate with other documents that had been produced. This is much plainer. There's lots of wonderful information that will help or at least assist the Russians in dealing with whatever final throw of the dice Ukraine has available as a final gambit, that is to say, a final offensive, if indeed it is launched. On the other hand, the real impact of this document is, I think, more in line with the Pentagon Papers and the Zimmerman Telegram, but especially the Pentagon Papers, in the sense that it sows division between NATO and the U.S., indeed between the U.S. and Ukraine. U.S. is everywhere spying. It's withholding information from its bosom allies. It's manipulating its frontline allies, to use that word, like Ukraine, to ensure that they're, you know, good boys and do what they're told, and yet not telling them everything. All this is known already, of course, in all of the capitals that are, in effect, vassal states of the U.S. But also, it creates a situation for Americans, Ukrainians, and NATO, and of course, by extension, Russia as well, that in fact, the entire proxy war against Russia has been founded upon, built upon, the entire edifice has been erected to create a kind of grand illusion. And the grand illusion is that Ukraine can defeat Russia. And the grand illusion does not take into account the fact that actual realities, if pursued over a long enough course of time, and absent any unbelievable further Russian missteps, would lead to a devastated Ukraine, a completely hollowed out Ukrainian army, and essentially a destroyed Ukrainian nation. And in fact, that is what we're seeing. And the losses, and one admission from very high up in Ukrainian government has admitted that today, that He said Ukrainian losses are catastrophic. Now, catastrophic can be put in perspective, but the fact is that if you look at Ukraine's population, which is half of that of the UK in World War II, Ukrainian losses may soon be approaching that of the United Kingdom in World War II with half the population. This is mind-numbing. And what this means is that this information, not quite at that level, because the figures in the released documents don't go that far, and they're as of March 1. But the fact is that this is disheartening to Ukraine, and it can only boost Russian morale that, in fact, they have achieved many of their goals. It's not possible to fight to the last man. And I have to, you know, again, bring up the last campaign of the Army of Northern Virginia, which fought valiantly beginning in June and July of 1864, all the way to the early spring of 1865. But by 1865, they just didn't have anything left. The army that was following Robert E. Lee as he tried to break out from the Richmond-Petersburg lines and head west was pathetic. It was 20 or 30,000 men. And this is a huge issue that the U.S. cannot grapple with. And the leaking of this kind of highlights something that will be very hard for the U.S. to get out from under, to escape as a nation, especially given its high moralistic marquee banner, insistent neon boosterism of being, you know, the exemplary nation on the globe. But here we have suborned a much smaller country to essentially sacrifice itself for the very venal interest of bringing down a foreign leader we don't like and bringing down his country's ability to be an autonomous and strong great power. This is not going to sit well in the future. So there are ramifications to this. And remember, the Pentagon Papers, although they've been all but forgotten now, had an enormous impact, as I mentioned at the time, because the impact of the Pentagon Papers, the kind of consequences that cascaded down, lasted from 1968 all the way into the Reagan era around 1983 or 1984.
Germanicus, remember, they created the plumbers.
Yes, they did. They did. And they created them to go after Daniel Ellsberg. And the great irony here is that Nixon didn't want to go after Ellsberg. He wanted this to all stew so that everyone would remember that this was part of LBJ's Democrat blue imperial project that he would have none of. And guess who convinced him to go after Ellsberg? It was Henry Kissinger. So, I mean, that's too much.
And we cannot know right now about the relationships in Washington that have been compromised by these documents, if they're real, or if the forgery is good enough. We don't know about the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the DOD, the secretary DOD, and making phone calls, putting the FBI on an investigation that compromises the military is odd. It's very odd. The military has plenty of intelligence officers and security officials. And the documents so far indicate they could have come from anywhere, and there can be more. If they have this lot, what else do they have?
I have
If they're real, I
have a fairly solid basis to say that there are people within the intelligence community and the larger world of the American military tribal confederacy that are upset about what's going on in Ukraine and are leaking to people. And this is an indication that the grand illusion or delusion that's been created is not sustainable, because there are plenty of loyal Americans on the inside who think that we are going down a bad path and that defeat lies ahead, and they want to stop it, but they can't. And you know that when the leaks happen, that the whole enterprise is rotten.
That was what the Pentagon Papers revealed.
Yes.
Because we were in college, Michael, and so we were surrounded by anti-war. However, anti-war was theoretical through the 68 election when McCarthy showed well in New Hampshire. He didn't win New Hampshire. He showed well in New Hampshire, but Lyndon Johnson then took that as a rebuke. He was a vulnerable man for a Texan, Michael.
He took
that as a rebuke and withdrew from the election March 31st. 4 days later, 5 days later, Martin Luther King is dead. 2 months later, Bobby Kennedy's dead. The year 68 turns into chaos.
Right.
And we didn't have the war at the center. Things were going apart everywhere. But by 71, we were settled into Nixon having said, bring us together, I will solve the war. He said that in the campaign. And by 71, there was no solution obvious to us, although they did get to Vietnamization. But that wasn't clearly a solution. And when the Pentagon Papers came out, we had an arguing point, again, that the war was concocted. And we didn't care who concocted it. Nobody at the time was worrying about whether it was Johnson's war or Nixon's war. I can remember advocates of anti-war advocates saying it's Nixon's war now. Remember that, Michael, as they made the transformation?
Yes, that was a venal, cynical sleight of hand, a misdirection. And the fact is that the entire American establishment was to blame, all the McGeorge Bundys, all of those, you know, World War II young officers like JFK and LBJ and Nixon and all the rest, all the way up to George H.W. Bush. They were all felt that they had to kind of recreate and relive the great crusade of their youth. And this has pulled us down over the decades after World War II. And it is still with us now. And what I feel about the analog of the Pentagon Papers is that kind of possibility for a strike deep inside the heart of the rotten fabric of our establishment that happened in 1968 is happening now, or has the potential to happen now. And perhaps these leaked papers are a little portent of what is about to happen to us when this all collapses.
Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. I am Gaius John Bachelor. We're Roman citizens. We speculate 2,000 years from now. And one more today, because Germanicus and I were talking about this as we were getting our cups of wine. We're headed to the theater later. But we were going back to 1968 and a man named William Westmoreland, who was the viceroy of America in Vietnam, commanding general of MACV, the Vietnam War. And in 1968, the North Vietnamese very carefully constructed a feint where it looked that they were building their forces to make an overwhelming assault in I Corps, where the Marines were deployed. Some huge percentage of the casualties in Vietnam in combat happened in I Corps. It was the closest region to North Vietnam, and so easy for them to access and supply. Anyway, Khe Sanh was constructed as a feint to Westmoreland so that the Vietnamese could attack the coastline. But Westmoreland took the feint, thought Khe Sanh was going to be another Dien Bien Phu, and he was going to show the North Vietnamese that he was superior. He was going to call in B-52s. He was going to level the jungle. Part of that thinking on his part was Operation Fractured Jaw. When we come back, this is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Bachelor.